On this inauguration day in Washington, and this first week of classes for the new semester on our campus, the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, we speak with Dr. Yancey Freeman. He is UTC's Vice Chancellor for Enrollment Management and Student Affairs. We talked about how UTC is moving forward during this stage of the pandemic, and a campus-wide call for hope and reconciliation after recent events near and far in the past few weeks. Dr. Freeman, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It is a pleasure to be here with you and exciting to spend some time with you this afternoon.
And we have a lot to talk about because we are at the start of another semester here at UTC.
Yes, we are. It is the start of the spring 21 semester. And with all semesters, as you can imagine, it is exciting because we have at least our residential students back. And so it's always exciting to have students on campus. They bring a, you know, vibrancy to campus that is unlike any other place, I think, in the world. But also, we are still dealing with COVID-19 and trying to mitigate the spread of that virus as well. So it is challenging as well as exciting.
And we should remind listeners beyond campus about how the university is operating at this time and what that means for students, for faculty, for staff.
Yeah, so in terms of how we're operating, this past fall, we had fewer face-to-face courses and we're learning more. And as we understand more about the virus, we are continuing to change what we do around campus. And so we have fewer face-to-face courses in the fall. We do have more face-to-face courses in the spring for students. And when I say face-to-face, it might not mean they're meeting every day, but it might be in a hybrid format or some format where they are meeting once a week or every other week or something. And so we have more courses that are face-to-face in the spring, which we understand and know that students have been requesting it. They want it more face-to-face. We're a campus that's built to do face-to-face really well in terms of our premise. And so we have some online courses for students who want to take that option, some face-to-face courses for students who want to do that. But anything that is meeting face-to-face is done with university protocol around social distancing in the classroom. So making sure that the seats are 6 feet or more apart. And also there is a mask mandate on campus where students, faculty, and staff must wear a mask when they are on campus. And so those two things are in place. Lots of hand sanitizer around, you know, for folks to continue to stay clean and safe. And lots of reminders about making sure that you wash your hands and continue to do what is required so that we can mitigate the spread.
What's a lesson or two that you, the chancellor, the rest of the campus administration learned from navigating this pandemic last semester that you are trying to carry forward into this semester for students, for faculty, for staff?
Yeah, it's been interesting. And before I answer that question, I would love to be able to just say to you and the listeners that I couldn't see myself working any other place. The faculty, staff, and students at this university are absolutely phenomenal. And what they do around rallying for a call for volunteers or what happens to make what we do go is just a phenomenal experience overall, where folks are willing and able and they sort of rally around each other to make sure that we are safe. And so I am so pleased to be working here and for the team of folks who are at UTC. I think I really underestimated the value of the face-to-face nature that's there around the institution, right? That, you know, one of the things we've had to deal with on our campus in a more prominent way are some of the mental health issues that come from folks not having the chance to be with other people, if that makes sense. And so it's been tough for some folks. If you are a type A personality like me who gets energy from being around people and engaging with people, then in a COVID-19 world where you're supposed to social distance and not be in groups, it's tough. And so we have, you know, done some things around providing more mental health care for students, faculty, and staff who are on campus to talk about how you navigate this world. And some good things have come from this as well. We've been doing some telehealth appointments where students now don't have to come into University Health Services. They can receive service over the telephone. We've done some telecounseling appointments for students that we will continue once post-COVID-19 gets here. We're going to continue to offer those sorts of services because we can now very easily see that those things work and students are interested in using them. And so we'll continue to use those services and offer them.
And as far as how this semester unfolds, we are just taking things a step at a time, a day at a time, a week at a time, a month at a time.
Yeah. Right now we have suspended a number of face-to-face courses. We have some face-to-face essential courses, and typically those are lab courses, studio courses in many situations that are meeting face-to-face, meaning that it is an essential component that they do so in order for learning to continue. And so we have some essential face-to-face courses that are meeting, but the vast majority of the face-to-face courses for the spring semester have been delayed until February 1st. That's the next time we intend to offer face-to-face where students will come to class and come to the classrooms. They are enrolled in classes virtually, and so they're enrolled in classes virtually right now. We anticipate, we hope, we desire, if we can see the peak that was happening at the beginning of the year continue to decrease, then we hope that we're going to be able to safely come back and do face-to-face courses at that February 1 time for students to re-engage.
I want to shift to hope and reconciliation, a message that you and Dr. Hale, the provost, shared with campus just the other day.
Right.
Share more of that with our listeners, the spirit of that with our listeners, and why it's important to express that message of hope and reconciliation now.
Yeah, I think what has occurred in our country, and I shared some of this in the email to campus, I think what has occurred in our country and even on our campus with one of the former assistant football coaches sent a tweet that really had some people upset, very upset by the content of what was there. What happened at the U.S. Capitol building in Washington, D.C., those things are things that we have not seen, not experienced at all. And as the chief student affairs officer, as the chief enrollment person, as the chief academic officer, we wanted, Dr. Hale and I wanted to make sure that folks knew that the university is a place where you can have conversation about various topics, in particular current events that are happening and how folks feel about those current events. But we want to do that with civility and collegiality as we go forward. And the only way to get beyond this is to really have a spirit, a pathway of hope and reconciliation. I am one who believes that though we may look different or may come from different places, people have more things in common than they would care to know or share or to think about. It really does take an opportunity for folks to get in a discussion and start talking about what you believe and why you believe it and how you prove and document what you believe around whatever it might be. And so for me, and as I don't want to speak for the provost because he's not on the call with us, but for me, this call for hope and reconciliation is one that allows us to learn from this experience so that hopefully we do not repeat it. And then the university provides a safe space for that learning to take place.
And these recent events are just another example of the particular challenge that institutions of higher education face when we talk about aiming for a path of hope and reconciliation, when we talk about the freedom to express diverse ideas, but express them with civility.
Right. Right. The wonderful thing about a higher ed institution, it doesn't operate in a vacuum, right? We are not isolated from the entire world. We have free thinking people who have the right to express their views, and we want to respect those views on our campus, but we do want to do it in such a way that allows everyone's voice to be heard in a way, you know, through civility and collegiality, as I see it. And so providing chances to do that on the campus is what we think is the ultimate goal of learning and builds character. And it really does, in many ways, point to the experience that students have on campus when they have a chance to learn from each other. That's why they're here, is to learn about those different experiences and to have a chance to engage with people who are different than them.
What are some of the opportunities that students
will see from the campus in the coming days and coming weeks about this theme of hope and reconciliation?
Sure, yeah. We have our Student Government Association. I am so proud of this group of student leaders who are elected by their peers. Our Student Government Association is sponsoring a conference called You See Me, and it's an acronym. And I am not going to try to name the words within the acronym because I am not going to get it correct, but it's an acronym about hope and reconciliation. It is about empowerment for students. And so faculty are encouraging students to participate in this conference. The conference dates will begin next week. And so students will begin to receive invitations there and have a chance to engage with other students in this dialogue around differences and how we get to this common ground. And so you'll see that coming very soon. We also have a team called BEST, it's Bias Education and Support Team. They are going to do a number of, and we're calling them mock talk sessions with some of the affinity groups across campus to talk with them about their sentiment, any anxiety they might be having from current events that are happening out there, to talk about resources and how we as an institution can provide those resources, and also talk about how we can help folks with learning to communicate in a civil way, you know, in a collegial way through this. So those are coming up very, very soon. Some of them as early as next week.
What are some of the things that you have been hearing again and again from different corners of the campus community about this message?
It has been just overwhelmingly positive. It is probably no big secret that this is also coming after ML King Day, Dr. Martin Luther King Day, and he was the great minister of hope and reconciliation. And although it may seem coincidental, it is no coincidence at all. I think that this is all sort of aligning in this way that it comes around the holiday for him. It is just imperative, I think, that we are able to communicate openly with individuals across the campus. And I've said to folks that even when we disagree, we have to agree to disagree on some things. That's okay. But giving everyone the chance to have their voice heard is what is absolutely important. And listening with an empathic ear is what is absolutely important. And so if we can do in some situations more listening than talking, then it gives us a chance to understand each other and be able to move forward. And I'm thrilled to be in a situation in this role where we can provide those chances for folks across the campus to talk about what they're feeling and why and how we move forward as a campus.
And if members of the campus community are listening to us and they want more information about what's coming, about these opportunities that are coming, where can they go online?
Yeah, we are working right now on posting information out on UTC's website. That's www.utc.edu. And I am working with our folks in marketing and communications to put something right on the front page for these events. So hopefully you'll see something very soon and they can just go there and find out all the details and try to join us as they need to.
All right. Dr. Freeman, thanks so much.
Thank you. It's great to be with you. I appreciate you.